Concept of Shiurim in the context of Achila and Shasiya and Yom HaKippurim, we noted that the formulation that we have in the Torah, Ki Chol HaNefesh Asher Lo Su'unah Ve'etzem HaYom HaZeh, it actually doesn't use the language of eating or drinking. So what that leads us to is a fascinating halacha conclusion that the Shiurim are different on Yom Kippur than they would be for any mitzvahs or Yisurim in the Torah. The Shiur for Achila that's problematic is actually a larger amount because that's the only thing that generates a Yishuv Hadas, Yisuv Edaite. It's a little bit less than a beitza, choseves hagatza, but when it comes to drinking, it's actually less than the regular shir of revias. It's malo lugmav. So now we're going to talk about practically this week how we deal with people who are in some kind of a medical situation. So first we're going to deal with pregnancy and with childbirth. Childbirth, the first 3 days, woman has a status of yoleda. She's not allowed to fast. It's considered a sakana for herself. Between days 3 and 7, so that's already a little bit more of a gray area, and a lot of the posts can write about all the women say that they're going to be fine, they're going to be fine. We have to be very careful about simply relying on what they say. They're very tough, they're very motivated. They just went through childbirth. What's Yom Kippur? So you have to be very careful. Already well over 100 years, 130 years already, a trend is to try to be very lenient. If there's some kind of a suffix, so then you can use the shiurim that we discussed already, you know, and see how that goes, obviously in consultation with the OBGYN. What's really fascinating about this idea, and this applies to pregnant women as well, is something that you find in the halachic literature is obviously the medical opinions are very, very consequential, as is the opinion of the patient, or the in this case, the woman who's delivered, but also nashim habikios, right, that women actually knew a lot about pregnancy, and they knew a lot about childbirth. And if there wasn't a doctor around to make an evaluation, so what you would do is you would go to the women and say, how is she doing, right? Why would you go to them? Because they had developed an expertise. This was something that women had developed knowledge for, and that becomes the basis of a lot of the halachic triage, let's say, in this area. What about pregnant women? So when it comes to pregnant women, we have to just understand that there's no... It's not obvious at all that women should be included, pregnant women should be included at all in the fast. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that with respect to most fasts that we have, okay, it's true, most of the fasts are derabanan, misanos ve'enan mashlimos. We don't want them to finish the fast, either because we see them as in a somewhat compromised position, and also what we call sakanas havlad, that there is a threat to the vlad. It's true that the mother's life takes precedence over the fetus, but the fetus is still considered, as the pasuk says in Parashas Noach, Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. The Gemara darshins in Sanhedrin, Ezu adam shehu besoch adam. What's a person that's inside of another person? Ze'ubar b'yerach imo. So we're actually mechalal Shabbos to save even the vlad, an unborn child. So we have to worry actually about both of those things. So it's very hard to talk about pregnancy in general. You have to know what pregnancy you're dealing with. Are you dealing with a high-risk pregnancy? Are you dealing with a lower-risk pregnancy? There are a million different factors that obviously go into these decisions. So just in the broadest possible strokes, what I'm just trying to point out is that we worry about the health of the mother. We also worry about the fetus. That is a very important halacha concern. Assume that we're dealing with a healthy woman, so the woman should try to fast. But again, if she develops, let's say, a craving in the middle of Yom Kippur, so there's a whole protocol that we go through. The first thing Gemara says that we tell her, we remind her it's Yom Kippur. If that somehow works, right, she says, okay, you know, I'm better now, that's good. If that doesn't work, so then we start with the shiurim that I say. You give them a little bit less than the shiur every 9 minutes. If that doesn't work, so you feed them whatever they need to be fed because it's considered a sakana to take things any further than that. So again, you have to be very much on top of these things. They have to be monitored. When I was learning yeshiva in Israel, there was it's a little bit of a different model than we have here in the United States. It was a yeshuv, and there was a doctor in the yeshuv, and he would spend all day on Yom Kippur going around, checking on all the pregnant women, where they were, what they needed to do at that particular time, whether it was a good idea for them to continue fasting, whether they should start with shiurim, whether it wasn't a good idea for them to be fasting anymore. It has to be monitored in real time. There's no question. Sometimes this comes up. People say, well, should I come to shul? And the answer is no. No, you shouldn't come to shul, right? Stay at home, daven at home, right? If there's any question that it's going to impact your ability to fast, right? It's a mitzvah on the Torah level to fast. It's issue of kares, daven at home, stay in an air-conditioned environment. Don't do things that are going to cause you to look for trouble in that regard. So that's some very important general principles. And as I said before, That's all in a situation we're talking about somebody who's fundamentally healthy. We're talking about somebody who's fundamentally at higher risk because underlying conditions, right? So then it's, again, a very different kind of analysis. And the question would be one of shiurim versus simply having the person, go ahead and eat it because there would be a sakanas nefashos to themselves or a sakanas havlad. Again, everything in consultation with a rofe uman shel oso makom, with an expert in the field and making sure that everything is done. It's true that there are a lot of people, practitioners, who say, no woman could ever fast in Yom Kippur. That's not what we're talking about. They're talking about people who have true expertise, who have a lot of experience dealing with this population, and their guidance is absolutely essential in terms of formulating an appropriate and differentiated plan for each and every woman in this situation. We'll continue tomorrow discussion more broadly with the question of cholim on Yom Kippur. What kind of cholim are we going to say? It's already started to discuss. We give shiurim to what kind of cholim we say should not even try to fast altogether, and what kind of cholim we say should really try to fast. And we have to make all of those differentiations, all those distinctions, God willing, over the course of this week. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Baruch Hu.